This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
Turkey's economic crisis on this Wednesday morning. I'm David Brancaccio in New York. First of all, the Turkish lira rebounded for a second day. It's up 0.3% to the dollar today after its dizzying collapse. The Turkish economic model is in question, and relations with the U.S. have been poisoned as the U.S. pushes to get Turkey to release a U.S. pastor accused of espionage. Last week, President Trump increased U.S. tariffs on Turkish metals. Today, Turkey dramatically raised tariffs on many U.S. goods. Let's go to Istanbul for the BBC's Turkey correspondent Ceylin Gerrit. Good morning to you.
Good morning.
Tell me about the new tariffs the Turkish government is imposing on imported U.S. goods.
Well, these tariffs were announced early this morning, and they include cars, alcohol, tobacco, cosmetics, rice, and coal. These tariffs look to be a bit symbolic rather than having a serious impact on the United States. The U.S. was the fourth largest source of imports to Turkey last year, accounting to around $12 billion of imports. But the goods that will be targeted by these doubling of Turkish tariffs will not necessarily put a serious impact.
That said, tariffs are a kind of tax. Yes, the tariffs might make U.S. exporters unhappy, but it makes U.S. goods more expensive for Turkish consumers. They may feel extra pain from these tariffs.
Exactly. Turkish consumers were already feeling a bit of pain. I have spoken to various of them. They feel that the government needs to take more serious measures like interest hikes, for instance. But we cannot talk about a panic atmosphere here in Turkey. We cannot talk about queues in front of gas stations or things like that. But every now and then, when someone passes by an exchange office, for instance, you'll see a worried face.
BBC Turkey correspondent Ceylin Gerrit in Istanbul. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much for having me.
Turkey's central bank has had to find ways to try to raise interest rates while pretending not to. This because Turkey's president can't stand higher rates, famously calling higher rates the mother and father of all evil, which gets style points for being gender neutral. We'll get profits and losses from Macy's today, Nordstrom and JCPenney tomorrow. We're also due for a reading on retail sales in America this morning. Those should be up from WESA in Pittsburgh. Marketplace's Erica Barris has more.
The economy feels good right now, and it is good. More people have jobs, wages are up. There were those tax cuts, and for shoppers, that means spending.
They tend to consume a bit more and save a little bit less.
That's Shevin Yeltikin, an economist at Carnegie Mellon University. So that's great news for retailers. Shoppers, they're shopping, says Nate Herman with the American Apparel and Footwear Association.
Oh, they see a sale, and so instead of buying one shirt, they buy a shirt and a pair of pants to go with it.
All good, except for that looming tariff war, which could happen and hike up the price of clothes. Hun Kwaik from the Retail Industry Leaders Association says department stores are focused on keeping prices low, just in case, because there's
nowhere else for that additional cost to go other than to the price that American consumers pay.
So to keep retail sales going up, prices have to stay low. I'm Erica Barris for Marketplace.
The FTSE stock index in London is down 0.8%. Dow and S&P futures are down 0.5%.
Hi, my name is Jennifer Slabaugh from Columbus, Indiana. Make Me Smart and Marketplace are two of my favorite shows, both pushing me to think outside of my normal boundaries and making issues important to me that I wouldn't have considered before. I became a Marketplace investor because I feel it's important to vote with your dollar for media that makes a difference in the world. To join me as a Marketplace investor, donate today in whatever amount works for you at marketplace.org.
This Marketplace podcast is supported by Palo Alto Networks. As you innovate to transform your business in today's digital world, how do you stay secure?
At Palo Alto Networks, our mission is to protect your digital way of life. Whether it's unprecedented opportunities or uncertainties with AI and whatever comes next, we continually deliver innovation to make each day safer and more secure than the one before. More at paloaltonetworks.com.
In the last week, we've been talking in the context of the Me Too movement to people about bosses who bully. Employees were often told to adapt, but are the lines that shall not be crossed becoming more clear? Can diversity help? Joelle Emerson runs Paradigm, which works with companies to develop diversity and inclusion strategies. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
So when do they call you? When do they bring you in? When there's a hot mess at the office?
Well, certainly a lot of companies are in a position like that, right? We're seeing a lot of stories of leaders saying racist things, you know, discrimination and harassment happening in organizations. But I think what we're seeing is that another set of companies are asking, how do we create an inclusive culture? And it's usually when companies are asking that type of question that they reach out to us.
So you would argue that this term that we use a lot these days, inclusion, is part of the recipe for lowering the chances of a workplace that in which people get harassed at one level or another.
I think inclusion is a core component to that for a lot of reasons. So is this an organization where people feel like they can speak up and like their ideas are going to be heard and valued? And you can imagine why in an organization where that's the case, harassment is less likely to happen because you're going to have a culture where people are speaking up when they see things that are potentially problematic. Another aspect of inclusion is belonging. You can imagine why in an environment where everyone feels like they belong, people feel like they can bring their full identities to work, these types of patterns, discrimination, harassment, they're less likely to happen because it's just a different type of cultural norm and cultural context that you're creating.
Joelle, I can hear in your voice that you're a person who believes in redemption, but help persuade the cynics among us. Can companies actually get better at this?
So we've seen some of the organizations we work with, like Pinterest or like Slack, we've actually seen representation numbers change in those organizations as they've been really intentionally focused on diversity and inclusion. We've also seen perceptions change. We've seen that people, you know, can feel differently about their organization when the organization invests in creating a culture of belonging, creating communication norms where people feel like they have a voice. I think at the end of the day, though, you know, one of the things that we see come up a lot is it critical that leaders of an organization be bought in order to see change? I think that that is the kind of single biggest factor that I've seen predict how quickly companies will change or whether they'll be able to change is if their leadership team is actually bought in.
Joelle Emerson is founder and CEO of Paradigm, which is a consulting agency that works with companies to develop diversity and inclusion strategies at work. Ms. Emerson, thank you so much for this.
Thanks for having me.
Our conversations about toxic managers are accumulating at marketplace.org. Our producers are Michael Lipkin, Katie Long, and Daniel Shin. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.